Well, again, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 10, and the title of our study today is The Joy of the Lord. But before we begin, let's talk to God for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for preserving your inspired, infallible, inerrant word in the good old King James Bible. Father, now, I pray as we fellowship around thy word once again, we pray there, if there's a soul that's listening that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, we pray that this would be the very day that they fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to receive him is to receive life eternal, Father. Father, I pray now that you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary, loosen my lips, fill me with thy Holy Spirit to preach and teach only those things that you'd have me to, Lord. Father, now, bless us in a mighty way, because you're a mighty God, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse 10. The Bible says in Nehemiah verse 8, chapter 8, verse 10, and then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy, here it is, folks, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we can see from our verse, the joy of the Lord is very important to the Christian, amen? It is what gives us our strength to live as pilgrims and sojourners on this earth until the Lord Jesus Christ himself returns for us at the rapture or the catching away of the church, the body of Christ. Now the joy of the Lord is very unlike, amen, the joy of the world. People today are trying to achieve the joy of the world by serving the Trinity of me, myself, and I. However, the joy of the Lord is not something that can be generated in the flesh, amen. True joy, the joy of the Lord, can only be generated in a person's life by the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 there, in Galatians chapter number 5, in verses 22, amen. Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23, we're given the list of the fruit of the Spirit, amen. In joy. Joy. That is the joy of the Lord, amen, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. All throughout the Bible, God promises this kind of joy, the joy of the Lord. The psalmist, for example, in Psalm 16, verse 11, wrote this, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Jesus said in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 11, he says, these things have I spoken unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, he says. The purpose for the reason he spoke these things unto the disciples, and they were recorded in the Gospel of John for us, he says the reason for that is that my joy, again, that's the joy of the Lord, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. In John chapter 16, verse 24, again, Jesus said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive that. And the reason for that is that your joy may be full. In the Lord's Prayer to the Father, Jesus prayed in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verse number 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, the kingdom of God is what a person enters into when he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And notice, when a person enters into the kingdom of God, according to Paul the Apostle, joy is promised. Since the joy of the Lord is our strength, and I don't know about you, Christian, but I need all the strength that I can get. We want to see through the Word of God today on the Pastor's Study how this precious commodity, this joy of the Lord, can be obtained. I want to look at three things in the Word of God that will produce the joy of the Lord in the Christian's life. Number one is salvation. Salvation. Salvation produces the joy of the Lord. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. And in chapter number 10 of the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10 in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord appointed 70 men and sent them out two by two before him. And we are told he sent them into every city and place where the Lord would go. And in verse 17, in Luke 10, verse 17, we are told, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now notice the Lord's response in verses 19 and 20. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing, notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus tells the 70 where the focus of their joy should be. He said your joy should not be in the fact and the power given to them, amen, but the fact that their names were written in heaven. In other words, Jesus was telling the 70 that they should rejoice because of their salvation, amen. My dear friend, if you are a saved, born-again child of God, then you should rejoice, amen, rejoice that your name is written in heaven, amen and amen. You should have joy, a joy unspeakable and full of glory over your salvation, amen. And the joy that is produced by your salvation should give you the strength that you need to fight the spiritual battle down here on earth. In fact, the Bible tells us that once your name is written in heaven, it can never be blotted out, amen. In other words, you are eternally secure. Revelations chapter 3, in verse number 5, the Bible tells us, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Please notice the alternative that's awaiting the person whose name is not written in heaven. Revelations chapter 20, Verse 15 tells us, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, whose name, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. The prophet Isaiah said this regarding his salvation in Isaiah chapter 61 in verse number 10. He said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. And the reason that Isaiah said his soul should be joyful in his God is because he says, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, and as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Yes, the prophet Isaiah was joyful over his salvation. We see in that great Psalm 51 that David wrote his prayer of confession unto the Lord after he sinned grievously against the Lord in committing adultery with Bathsheba and having her husband Uriah the Hittite killed in battle. Amen. We see that when David prayed here, when his fellowship was broken with the Lord because of his sin, one of the things he said in Psalm chapter 51, verse 12, he said to the Lord, and he confessed his grievous sin, and he said, I've transgressed against you and you alone, amen. And he asked for God's mercy. And he also asked, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. See, because of his sin, amen, David's sin had caused him for his fellowship with the Lord to be broken. And as a result, he lost that joy that was produced by his salvation. So my dear friend, when we sin against the Lord, amen, when we sin against God Almighty, amen, we lose something. We don't lose our salvation, but we certainly can lose our fellowship with the Lord, amen, and as a result, lose that joy of salvation. Maybe you don't have the joy that you should in your life is because the fellowship with Almighty God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, has been broken because of the sin in your life, amen. And what we all need to do then, amen, is to get down on our knees like David did and cry out to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness and ask for his mercy and tell him we've sinned against him and pray that he will restore the joy of our salvation, amen. My friend, if you are saved, if you are saved, born again, child of God, then you should have great joy because of your salvation. And that joy should give you strength. Amen. So we see then, number one, salvation produces the joy of the Lord. Number two, suffering. Suffering produces the joy of the Lord. Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12 with me. Hebrews chapter number 12. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is to be our example as Christians. Amen. That's what the word Christian means, Christ-like. So the Lord Jesus Christ is to be our example to follow in everything. In everything. And that includes suffering. Please notice in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2 in particular, the Bible tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew that because of the suffering that he went through on this earth, amen, for the great suffering, for God's wrath that was poured out on him for sin as he hung on that cross, he knew as a result of his suffering there would be a great eternal payoff soon. What it says about the cross is that Jesus considered the suffering, but looked upon that suffering as the joy that was set before him. Amen? Jesus knew there was awaiting as a result of his suffering future glorification. Notice with me what the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 and verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus' suffering provided him great joy. Jesus said to his disciples and to us in Luke chapter 6 and verses 22 to 23, Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day." He says, "Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Amen. My dear friend, this still applies to the Christian today. Amen. If you're suffering for the cause of Christ, not for something that you've done, not for some sin in your life, but because you've been trying to live with Jesus, then he says, "Rejoice and leap for joy." Paul the Apostle reminds us over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So it shouldn't be any surprise if you're trying to live for Christ and you're suffering persecution. He says, Paul says emphatically, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." There's no doubt about it. Amen. Amen. Then we see the Apostle Peter reinforces this same principle for the Christian, that suffering in the Christian's life should produce great joy. Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 12 through 14. Paul writes to us. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Again, he says, like Paul, this should be no big surprise, amen, that you're going through a fiery trial, that you're suffering as a Christian. He says in verse 13, your response to the suffering should be, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Amen. Notice our response to suffering, rejoicing, exceeding joy. Amen. When Jesus comes, you'll be glad with exceeding joy because of your suffering for him. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we suffer for Christ in this life, then in the next life to come, we will also reign with him on this earth during the millennium, during the thousand-year reign of Christ. Amen. In the book of James, in chapter number 1, in verses 2 to 3, the Bible tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen. And then we're told in Acts chapter 5, we want to notice what the Word of God says concerning the apostles after they were beaten and forbidden to preach. Notice what it says in verse 41 of Acts 5. And they departed. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Why were they rejoicing, my dear friend? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for his name. That's why they were rejoicing, because of the suffering of shame for Jesus' name. Amen. Christian, your suffering should produce joy in your life, which should in turn produce strength. So we've seen so far, amen, two things that produce the joy of the Lord in our life. Number one, our salvation. Number two, amen, our suffering for Christ. And number three, soul winning. Soul winning produces the joy of the Lord. In Psalm 126, verse 5, the Bible tells us, they that sow in tears shall reap, how? In joy. So we see, if we go out with a burdened heart, a sorrowful heart, for those that are lost and dying and going to hell, we're told if we remain faithful to that, if we keep doing, if we faint not in well-doing, then we shall reap in joy, my dear friend. Please turn to Luke chapter 15 with me. Luke chapter number 15. Luke 15. In Luke chapter 15, there is a parable that shows us that soul winning produces joy. Soul winning produces joy. Amen. In the parable, in Luke 15, we are given several illustrations of a lost sinner by the lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And we want to notice the great joy that was produced as a result of that which was lost being found. And of course, all of these are an illustration of a lost sinner being saved. First, we have the sheep. In verses, beginning in verse 4, amen. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And notice in verse 5, the lost sheep when it is found. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. In verse 7, And I say unto you that likewise joy, is that word joy again, shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then we see the coin, the lost coin, and when it's found, in verse 9, Luke 15, and when she hath found it, and calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. And then finally we have the story of the prodigal son, who asks his father to give him half of all that belongs to him, and he goes out and he leaves his father and his older brother, and he goes out and he squanders his existence, and he finds, and he lives in riotous living, and all his money is spent, and he finds himself eating with the pigs, and he realizes that even his father's servants back at the house, amen, are well taken care of. So he goes back and he says, I won't even say I'm your son, I'll be your servant, amen, because I don't deserve anything. The lost son comes home, and notice what it says in verse 23. And for this, the father says, for this my son was dead and is alive again, he was lost and it is found, and they began to be merry. Again, merry indicates joy, amen. There was joy that that lost son had come home. Notice in verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry, amen. Looking in verse 32, of course the older brother was jealous, because his father never threw a party for him, amen. And his father said, you've been always with me, amen. You have everything, everything that I have belongs to you. And we see in verse 32 it says, it was meet that we should make merry. There's that word merry, a joy again. And be glad, for this thy brother was dead, is alive again, was lost, and is found, amen. Be glad, he said. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. Soul winning, leading a lost sinner to Christ, produces great joy in a Christian's life, which in turn should give the Christian great strength. Notice what Paul, the apostle, addresses those who he had won to the Lord. For example, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Now notice this, he calls them my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Also look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19 to 20. Paul says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Soul winning produces great joy, amen? If you do not have joy, try winning someone to the Lord. I guarantee you will have great joy. So we've seen three things in the Word of God that should produce the joy of the Lord in the Christian's life, and in turn give him great strength to run the Christian life: salvation, suffering, and soul winning. And this list is by no means exhaustive. Amen. Let me ask you this, Christian. You may be feeling that you have no strength. This may be because you are joyless. Will you not come to the sources that can produce joy in your life so that you will have the strength to be able to fight the good fight, finish the faith, finish the course, and keep the faith? Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study today. This is Brother Gino thanking you once again for joining me. May God richly bless each and every one of you is my prayer, and good day.